Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. For anyone who has had a birthday or marked an anniversary or special occasion over the last 5 months, they will tell you it's been rough. For the Art Gallery of Northumberland, 2020 marked its 60th anniversary. It was going to have a year of events to celebrate, and as you can imagine, things have not turned out as expected. The Art Gallery of Northumberland Executive Director Olinda Casimiro is obviously disappointed. Anyone would be. But she is going to share the trials and triumphs over the past 5 months. Digital technology will play an important role, but there's also new opportunities for outreach and connecting with the community. Not all traditions were lost. The 42nd juried exhibition is going forward, and the calls for submission recently went out to the public. She will also acknowledge the challenges as the gallery goes forward. But also its plans to open once more for people to visit. Here is my conversation with Olinda Casimiro. I am so pleased to welcome Olinda Casimiro, Executive Director of the Art Gallery of Northumberland. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you, Robert. Nice to see you.
In the midst of a pandemic, why is art and artists so important to us as a community?
Well, you know, the arts and culture are, wonderful examples of how people come together to build community and to connect, whether it's the visual arts or the performing arts. Here we are, almost 18 weeks into the pandemic, and we have seen the resiliency in our community with artists, some performances going live. So it's really about building connections and solidarity.
Is it different, though, for the fine arts as compared to, say, maybe the more popular arts?
When you're talking fine arts, are you meaning the visual arts like painters and sculptors? I wouldn't say that it's different. It's a creative process. I think that they're everyone interprets their creative in their own way. It's really about storytelling. Some artists will, have their experience of their work, right from the get-go, right, on their canvas. Other artists interpret things in a very different way. So I think each one is unique, but the idea of sharing and community and connecting, I think is really important.
Well, it's interesting, too. I mean, what would we do without Netflix or, our TV and that form of entertainment, or some people, maybe it's music or Spotify. And I wonder how that compares to, what you're talking about, which is, a beautiful collection of art that you put on the display or sculptures. Mm-hmm. So how do those two things play in terms of the things that you just talked about?
So I think digital is wonderful and fills a temporary void. Personally, I prefer to see things up close so I can examine all of it and have a wonderful look at the details and discover and engage with the work. So during this pandemic, going digitally has been really wonderful in allowing us here at the gallery even to talk about some of the works in our permanent collection, to give that window into the collection that perhaps was not readily available before. But really, there's nothing like the walk-in experience and have an intimate dialogue with each of the works.
I'd like to talk about that a little bit more a little later on, but I'd also like to explore a little bit more about the role of art. What role does it play in Northumberland as, say, compared to places like Toronto or New York or Paris?
So, the arts, they're powerful tools. I think we're fortunate in Northumberland County to have such a wide-ranging both rural and sort of central, you know, with our seven townships, we've got the country, we've got the water, you know, we're in a fortunate position. And, you know, how does it differ? Well, I think each area will differ. You know, you don't really know what's beyond your four walls until you go out and explore. We have many artists of various levels that are creating work. Perhaps you're a Sunday painter, perhaps you're a hobbyist, or perhaps you're a professional artist who actually makes a living from creating beautiful works. So we're in a sweet spot, if you will.
What does art give us then when we're facing a crisis? I mean, what has it done in the past when societies have faced hard times?
So I think art is about exposing yourself and also allowing the creative to come out. It's a form of expression. You know, many communities are fortunate that they have clubs or that they have groups, social groups. I mean, of course, we have Facebook for connection, but when you're talking about the creative process and you have the arts, the ability to release the stresses, the ability to create something quite powerful, even as far as building community capacity and exposing yourself and others to works of art are very thought-provoking.
And why is that particularly important? I mean, I would see that as being part of art's role all the time. How is it different than in the face of a pandemic where we're being asked to isolate, where our connections, we're being asked to distance from each other? Yeah. How is it different than now?
Yeah, well, it's proven to have health benefits through mental health. And I think we are social creatures, right? And we are accustomed to that. So by allowing the expression of the creative form to really build upon itself and develop, you know, whether you're self-isolating or within a broader group, it allows for expression and for acceptance and for you know, I think just thoughtful meditation. There are many levels depending on what you want to look at.
Are you an artist?
Well, no, but I'm very creative.
Okay. Do you do creative things during the pandemic? Has that been an outlet for you?
Well, you know what? I have two boys, so they keep me very busy. I have one son who's 17 and just finished grade 12, so we had a lot of calculus discussions towards the end of the year, and the other one is just has wrapped up grade 9, so we were really busy with schoolwork and trying to juggle the online learning, and so that really kept me busy. As far as creative, you know, the gallery, while closed to the public, I was working. And so just sort of managing what was happening here at the gallery certainly filled up my time. And then, you know, also, you know, paying attention to what the county was doing, what the town of Coburg was doing, and my colleagues in the art industry throughout the province, and then federally. Like, there's been so much change that alone was, you know, very time consuming.
Well, let's unpack that some more because I think that's really, really important. So how has the Art Gallery of Northumberland responded during the pandemic?
So, I mean, we are doing the best that we can. Unfortunately, we did lay off three of our employees. So there's just myself and one other part-time employee. And, you know, that's always heartbreaking because not only are we dealing with a pandemic, but we're also dealing with people's livelihoods, right? This gallery celebrates its 60th anniversary this year, and wow, right? 60 years is wonderful. We have this amazing collection of over 1,000 works in our permanent collection that we are responsible for, and responsible. I'm talking about being stewards to these works. Immediately, right from the get-go, we mobilized digital. We had this wonderful exhibition on view, celebrating our 60th anniversary. So we did these wonderful Friday afternoon video shorts. You may have seen them. And then I've been here now almost, 3 years, and I know that the community really wanted to learn more about our permanent collection. So we began a project called Window Wednesdays, where we choose a work from the collection and we talk about it. Now, it sounds pretty straightforward, but the amount of work that goes behind researching each one of those works has been very fulfilling and a great learning experience. And I'm not so sure that if we were in the day-to-day that we would have had that time to do it. So I'm thrilled to have discovered a little bit more about the gallery's collection and being able to share it. Also during the pandemic, we've been able to partner with local Food for Local Good. We provided wonderful art boxes for families. And that was such a wonderful experience to be able, and that was through the Market S'more, the grocery store here downtown Coburg. We partnered with them and with local Food for Local Good, and it was just a wonderful project. So we've done a few projects like that. Another one was providing art curriculum-based programming for our teachers in Northumberland County. It's been, you know, busy for us, but in trying to accommodate how best we can.
Tell me more about this local food that you did. Could you just describe it in a little more detail as to what was actually involved so that listeners could better understand?
Yeah, we offer arts programs for children through the school board as well as through our own programming. And our camps is something that we offer for youth and for children. And we missed out on March break as well as our summer art camp program. And, you know, we had these supplies and wondered how best to get them to families in need, because not everyone, A, can afford to buy art supplies, and they were not easily accessible. So we were able to put, I think it was 50 boxes of art supplies in cardboard boxes, and with three activities in each box, plus an activity on how to make a board game with your cardboard box. So it was very well received, and it was a delight to actually be able to contribute back to the community in such a powerful way.
Now, you've talked about some of the successes. What have been some of the bigger challenges that you've had to face?
So when I arrived here at the gallery was in a very vulnerable state. And so, you know, I've been working towards resurrecting, if you will, bringing the gallery back on par as a public art gallery. We've had tremendous support from the town of Coburg and extremely grateful for their ongoing support. So we're just realigning program and understanding the role of the public art gallery within our community and just as public art gallery. So we've been, you know, moving right along. It's been great. We would have had a stellar year this year, but you know what? That's okay. We will put those stellar programs in place in the years to come.
So what impact then has the pandemic had on these efforts in mm-hmm. facing these challenges, especially, I mean, with the 60th anniversary being planned for this year? And I know that you going through that there were a number of events that you had planned that were going to be public and to raise the profile of the gallery. So talk a bit about how the pandemic has impacted those initiatives and that underlying tension.
So the gallery, of course, has suspended all its programming, and that's tough, right? We are a not-for-profit organization that relies heavily on grant donations and sponsorships, and thankfully, the town of Coburg continues to support the gallery within its budget, and we are extremely grateful for that. The town of Coburg supports our core operations, and so the ability for us to apply for grants at the moment, you know, it's not possible. Those grants aren't available, so it's been challenging. And then when you're close to the public, which we remain close to the public, what programming, you know, can we do to generate revenue? Well, I can show you. I know you can see me, Robert, but look at this. This was our mask that we developed with our logo. So that's generated some income. You know, when you think about our 60th anniversary, we hope to have a celebration, a distancing celebration in the fall once we, you know, we have a better understanding of when we can reopen. So yeah, 40% of our annual earned revenues have been lost, and that's extremely challenging. So, you know, we're taking it almost 1 week at a time.
And what would have been your annual operating budget then for this year coming up?
Our annual budget was at $350,000, and we've had to scale that right down. We've we've rescheduled programs into the next 2-3 years. So we've been fortunate to be able to do that. And we are just going, you know, very carefully. We're going to tread till the end of the year. And sure, I mean, of course, we're concerned, like many not-for-profits, concerned where and how we can move forward. Being in the arts is not a priority for many donors, and understandably so. However, I have to believe that the arts play a huge role in our quality of our well-being, including the public arts. So we have been mobilizing to put together our Spotlight series, which is a fundraiser that we do annually. So stay tuned for that, because that will be coming up in the new year. We have a Spotlight specials planned for November, which will go digitally. And I think by that time, we'll be able to see how we need to pivot into the new year, whether it'll always be digitally or how we can accommodate our audiences.
Well, I noticed through your Facebook that the juried exhibition is going forward. Can you tell us a bit about that and how you plan to do it within the context of our current situation?
Right. So you might recall in our earlier conversation, I'm all about seeing it and having that experience. So I know that some of my colleagues in the industry have moved their juried exhibitions to online, which is fine. But I think that the experience of having a presence, we intend on moving forward with that. We're just going to give ourselves a little bit of extra time to be able to accommodate. I'm very positive. I think that we can do it. We have three great jurors lined up, so I'm very excited about that. And you know what? Our community, I can't imagine not having a juried exhibition. Our community really comes out, and you know, I remember the very first year that I was here, I was like blown away by the quality of work that was represented in the juried show. So it's an exhibition that I really look forward to. And, you know, because it's annual, I look forward to seeing, the artists that I hadn't seen in a little while. So it'll be great. It'll be a great opportunity to see and say hello to everyone.
Now, part of the stage three reopening of the economy has allowed museums and art galleries to open. I know that the Ontario Association of Art Galleries has offered many resources, plus a list of galleries that are opening. What are Northumberland's plans in that regard?
Yeah, so I'm actively working with OAG. I meet with them with our members meeting every 2 weeks, and they have been a wonderful resource and represent the public art galleries at that provincial and federal level for advocacy. So it's been great. Oh boy, can you hear that? Sorry. So they've been instrumental in helping us all get through these processes. This gallery has actually been able to open for the past 6 weeks because we qualified under stage two. However, Victoria Hall remains closed. And as you know, we're located on the third floor west wing. I've been working with the town of Cobourg to have an opportunity to provide admission by appointment only. So we are working at developing requirements to have one of the doors open and give us access. But it will be by appointment only. We're going to start slow that way. And I don't have a start date yet, but we are hoping sooner rather than later. So, you know, so hopefully in August.
So in the longer term, then, how do you intend to go forward?
Right. So I think, you know, like all of my colleagues, we're beginning to develop these plans. It certainly will not look the same as it did in the past. And that's okay. We can accommodate change. We will try to better understand what works in our industry. I mean, you can well imagine it's a very social, intimate environment for some, and spiritual for some people. So, you know, in trying to understand how people need to navigate their experience is, you know, we have to be thoughtful with that. One thing about this gallery that's really wonderful is that we have 40 active volunteers, and our volunteers are often our frontline point of contact individuals. We also have a group of tour guides that provide tours. So we're trying to best understand what works for them, and want, you know, looking forward to welcoming them back. We have these wonderful Zoom chats once a month with our volunteers, and we have a lot of fun, which is great. More fun on Zoom than we do, you know, in person, but it's all good. We learn a lot on Zoom, right? So we will accommodate. Things will look a little different, but, you know, not unfamiliar. And I think as we move through this together, we will, you know, improve perhaps our signage, improve how we communicate. You know, there's the whole issue of accessibility and what are those requirements. Like there's a lot of spokes, if you will, that come together in building change for the organization. I have a wonderful board of directors, and our strategic plan process will hopefully begin this fall, early next year, depending on the timing. And those are all conversations that we've started to have. You know, what does the gallery look post-COVID? We are being mindful of that. When we chat again, I will be able to share more of those details with you.
If you were to leave the listeners with one or several small ideas about art and the role of art in our community, what would you like to leave them with?
If you're an artist, continue creating, stay connected. If you're a visitor or a volunteer, come visit when we're ready, because we do miss our audience and the engagement. It's really about staying connected and having those thoughtful, meaningful conversations. Just carry on.
Linda Casimiro, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you, Robert.
That was my conversation with Art Gallery of Northumberland Executive Director, Olinda Casimiro. I want to thank both my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. While we are busy self-isolating, it's important to remember the world has not stopped entirely. If you know of a good story or have an idea for a story, please let me know. You can email me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com and include as much detail as possible, especially contact information. If you have any comments, questions, rants, or raves, you can also email me at that same address. Or you can go to my Facebook page, Consider This. Or if you're on Twitter, you can message me at rwash. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening, and stay tuned for more from Consider This.